Let's read the Holy Scriptures together tonight in the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John. John 10, we'll read together the first 18 verses. My text tonight is verse 11. The Word of God at John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, for by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There ends our reading of God's word tonight. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of the Holy Scripture. I call your attention to the 11th verse. These words of Jesus, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In this passage of Holy Scripture, the Lord Jesus uses two very closely related figures to describe himself and to describe his saving work on behalf of his people. Both of these figures are derived from sheep herding, something that was very common in Jesus' day, a very familiar figure to Jesus' disciples. First, Jesus describes himself as the door of the sheep. And then he describes himself as the good shepherd. Jesus is the door of the sheep. He is the door of the sheep in two respects he teaches in the chapter. That he is the door of the sheep, door here, is not a door such as you enter into the sanctuary tonight, but is a gate, really, the gate of the sheepfold. The gate of the sheepfold is that which keeps the sheep within and protects them at nighttime. The figure here is of a number of different shepherds grazing their sheep in a certain locality. Shepherds who band together at night, having built an enclosure so that all of their sheep can be herded into that enclosure for safety during the night. And then at the same time, not every one of them has to stay awake during the night to keep an eye on his sheep. But most of them are able to sleep at night, except for one, the porter who kept the gate into the sheepfold. Christ is the door or gate into the sheepfold, first of all, because he is the gate of the shepherds. Only those who come in Jesus' name, only those who labor on his behalf and who are accounted by him as true shepherds of the sheep, only they have the right to enter into the sheepfold. The first five verses describe this aspect of Jesus being the door or gate of the sheepfold. But Christ is also the door of the sheep, so that it is through him that the sheep enter into the safety of the sheepfold. Through him, he says in verse 9, if a man enters into the sheepfold, there is safety and he is saved. But besides being the door or gate of the sheep, Jesus is also the good shepherd of the sheep. That's his teaching in our text for tonight. I am the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd, the good shepherd, the good shepherd, the good shepherd who gives his life for the salvation and the life of the sheep. Tonight I call your attention to the good shepherd. Let's notice three things together. First of all, the good shepherd who gives his life. In the second place, that he gives his life for the sheep and only for the sheep. And finally, let's notice the benefit, the saving benefit of the giving of his life for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd because of his innate goodness, the goodness that he has within himself as the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity in our flesh. In that respect, he is the good shepherd. He has declared himself to be the Son of God in the passage. That's the implication of his calling himself the one and only good shepherd. He is the one, the only one to whom the porter openeth. He is the one, the one alone to whom the sheep obey, whose voice they hear, and whom they follow. By me, he has said, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. Verse 15. And then later in verse 30, I and my Father are one. Jesus is the Son of God, the divine Son of God. He is one with the Father, one with the Father, essentially sharing in the very being of God Himself. That too is the significance of His saying in the text, I am the Good Shepherd. Our text is one of the seven I ams of the gospel according to John. Maybe the older children can look up the other six of the seven I ams tonight or this week. But all of the I ams underscore, first of all, the fundamental truth of the deity of Jesus Christ. They all are derived from that saying of God back in Exodus chapter 3, when God appeared to Moses and said to him, I am that I am. The seven I ams, the I am of our text, are really only amplifications of the great I am of Exodus chapter 3. By identifying himself as the I am, Jesus is designating himself as the divine Son of God. From that point of view, Jesus is the Good Shepherd. True as that is, that doesn't get the emphasis in the text. What gets the emphasis in the text is not Jesus' essential goodness, but his goodness shown to us. His goodness to his people. That gets the emphasis. Because of his goodness to us, because of the great good that he does for us, because that good is the highest good, the greatest good, because that good is the good of salvation itself, Jesus is the Good Shepherd. As the Good Shepherd, Jesus distinguishes himself. He distinguishes himself from all who are unfaithful and who are adversaries of the shepherd. He speaks of them in the passage. Jesus distinguishes himself as the Good Shepherd from the thieves and from the robbers, first of all. They are the enemies of the sheep. They don't have the good of the sheep in view, but they have their own good in view at the expense of the sheep. They come in order to steal the sheep, to kill the sheep, to abuse the sheep, to destroy the sheep. Verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But as the Good Shepherd, Jesus also distinguishes himself from the false and faithless shepherds. Verses 12 and 13, the verses that immediately follow the text. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Jesus has in mind the leaders of the church of his day. Jesus has in mind the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests. They were supposed to be shepherds to God's sheep, under shepherds of the great good shepherd, under shepherds who cared for the sheep and for the little lambs. They held the office of shepherd, were called to be shepherds among God's sheep. But like the thieves and the robbers, they had no interest in the good of the sheep, but their own good. They were not good shepherds, but evil shepherds. They did not execute faithfully the office of shepherd, but they abused their office and used their office, not for the good of the sheep, but for their own good, their own advancement, their own riches at the expense of the sheep. In distinction from them, Jesus says in the text, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd because he does what a shepherd ought to do for his sheep. He is the good shepherd because he has the good of the sheep in view. That duty of the shepherd was twofold. It was the duty, first, to provide for the sheep, and it was the duty, secondly, to protect the sheep. Provide and protect. Christ does both of these. He does both of these with respect to the sheep. He does both of these at his own expense. He does both of these by laying down his life for the sheep. In the giving of his life, Jesus both makes provision for the sheep, their eternal provision, and he protects the sheep, protects them from all of their enemies. He lays down his life so that they might live. He dies so that they do not have to die. And at the same time, in dying, he defeats all their enemies, death and hell, sin and Satan. I am the good shepherd. It is therefore in the giving of his life that Jesus shows himself to be the good shepherd. That's the idea of the text. I am the good shepherd. And because I am the good shepherd, I give my life for the sheep. He gave his life, of course, on the cross. That's what Jesus is talking about in the text. Jesus is speaking prophetically in the text. prophetically of his suffering and dying that looms before him, his death on the cross of Calvary. That's what he has in view when he speaks of his giving of his life. There on the cross, we must see Jesus functioning as the good shepherd. It's a shepherd who hangs from Calvary's cross. It's a shepherd there who's doing the work of a good shepherd on behalf of his sheep. Because he is the good shepherd, he goes to the cross. Because he is the good shepherd, he gives himself on that cross, and his death on the cross is the evidence, the proof positive that he is indeed the good shepherd. By his death on the cross, Christ provided for his sheep an eternal and spiritual provision, and God defended them from their enemies. In connection with Jesus' giving of his life on the cross, there are a couple of important things that we ought to take note of. First of all, in giving of his life, Jesus demonstrates his love. His love for the sheep. That's emphasized when Jesus says that he giveth, that is, gives his life. The idea is freely, willingly, voluntarily, he lays down his life. He says that in verse 18. No man taketh it, my life, from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He is not forced to die. The cross is not a criminal against his own will being made to die for the crimes that he has committed, being executed. Not at all voluntarily, but contrary to his own will. That's not the cross. But the cross is the death of someone who gives his life. That's love. That he gives his life underscores the love that he has for us, on behalf of whom he gives his life. And it's the greatest love possible. It's the ultimate sacrifice that he makes for those whom he loves. He doesn't give silver or gold. He doesn't give something for those whom he loves. But he gives himself. And he gives his own life for those who are beloved by him. This is the difference between the Lord Jesus and the hirelings. Jesus loves the sheep. The hireling loves himself at the expense of the sheep. There's an application here to office bearers in the Church of Jesus Christ, called to be under shepherds of the Good Shepherd. The qualification for office in the Church of Jesus Christ is that the office bearer loves the sheep of Jesus. And if he does, if he loves them as he ought, he's going to serve them, and he's going to be willing to lay down his life for them. That first, he loves the sheep. In the second place, that Jesus gives his life for the sheep underscores the fundamental truth concerning the death of Jesus Christ, that his death was a vicarious death. By that term, that theological term, vicarious death, we mean that Jesus died not for himself, but for others. He represented others. That's the idea of a vicar and the idea of vicarious. You represent others. What you do on their behalf for their benefit. Christ died in the place of. He died as the substitute of others. He did not himself deserve to die. He wasn't worthy of the death that he died. They deserved to die. He stood in their place. He endured what we should have endured, what we deserved to endure as our substitute. The great Good Shepherd stood between us and death and died the death that we deserved to die. And in the third place, that Jesus gives his life for the sheep underscores the ongoing benefit of the death of Jesus Christ. What he did is not of benefit only at the moment that he did it, but what he did has ongoing saving benefit into all eternity. And that too is underscored by giveth. Gives. That's very significant. Jesus did not say, shall give. The Good Shepherd shall give his life for the sheep, even though, as a matter of fact, from the moment at which Jesus spoke this word, his death was future. He had not yet died, but he was going to die. It was down the road a little ways. And yet Jesus does not say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd shall give his life for the sheep. Neither does he speak in the past tense. Gave. That were possible too. If Jesus was speaking from the point of view of God's eternal decree, what God had determined in eternity past, from that distinct point of view, it's conceivable that Jesus would have said, gave his life. He says neither. But he says in the text, gives, giveth. That's not just a present tense verb, but it expresses the ongoing, continual giving of himself on behalf of the sheep. There's progression from the present onward. Now, certainly, there was a moment in time in which Jesus gave his life. Certainly, a historical moment that made his death a fact of human history. The cross is a once for all event. It's blasphemy to teach, as Rome teaches, that that death of Christ is repeated, as though that death on Calvary did not accomplish what it was intended to accomplish. That's blasphemy. Nevertheless, that Jesus says that he gives his life underscores the truth that the benefit of Jesus' cross is ongoing. The benefit of the cross of Jesus Christ, the effect of that cross, extends into the future and even into the eternal future of heaven and glory hereafter. He gives his life because we, all our lives long, enjoy the benefit of his giving of his life. For the sheep. For the sheep. Who were they for whom Jesus gave his life? Jesus himself teaches in the text who they were when he says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus died for certain particular people. The atonement of the cross of Jesus Christ was a limited atonement. Or, we may say, the redemption of his cross was a particular redemption. It was not for all human beings, for every human being, but his death was definite and particular. Jesus gave his life for every human being. For every human being who belongs to the category of sheep. He gave his life for the sheep and only for the sheep. Jesus did not lay down his life for every single human being without distinction. Sheep in the text does not include every man, woman, and child who has ever been born into the world. But sheep is limited. This is Jesus' own teaching in this passage. In verse 8, he speaks of the thieves and the robbers. In the first part of verse 12, he speaks of the hirelings. And in the end of the verse, of wolves. In verse 26, Jesus says to some particular persons in his audience, "Ye are not of my sheep." Since Jesus lays down his life for the sheep, Jesus teaches clearly in the text that he does not lay down his life for every single human being. Not the thieves and robbers, not the hirelings, not the wolves, the lions, and the bears. For the sheep, and only for the sheep. In the end, Jesus laid down his life for the elect. You may read John 10, verse 11, that way, and you do no injustice to Jesus' teaching. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the elect," and only for the elect. The sheep are God's elect. And that's in keeping with the very figure of sheep in the passage. For the shepherd chooses his sheep. The sheep, as dumb sheep, do not choose their shepherd. Even the children in the congregation tonight can understand that. How does a shepherd become the shepherd of a group of sheep? Do the sheep get together and have a meeting? And do the sheep put on the whiteboard, maybe the names of several possible shepherds, and then all raise their hoofs, voting for the shepherd they want to be their shepherd? Is that how a shepherd becomes the shepherd of a flock of sheep? Of course not. That's ridiculous, you say. Well, it's just as ridiculous to teach that Jesus died for every human being. What determines the fact that a shepherd is the shepherd of a flock of sheep? It's the shepherd, the will, and the work of the shepherd. He does everything that's necessary to be done to make these sheep his own sheep. He does everything that's necessary. It's because of his decision and his work and his will that the sheep are his sheep and that he is their shepherd. What applies naturally applies even more so spiritually. Not only does Jesus teach in the text limited atonement when he says that he gives his life for the sheep and only for the sheep, but he also teaches limited atonement by his teaching in the text that the saving benefit that comes to the sheep because of him and because of his saving death. Follow me here. Jesus' death actually availed to save everyone for whom Jesus died. His death did not merely make salvation possible for them. He saved them. His death wasn't only limited atonement. His death was limited atonement, because his death was the real atonement of everybody for whom he died. Because when he died for them, he really atoned for their sins, fully satisfying the justice and wrath of God over them. His death could not be a death for every human being. There's a hell, and there are people who end up in hell. Are we going to teach, as many teach today, as the Arminians taught at the time of the great Synod of Dort, that despite the fact that Jesus died for some, they nevertheless end up in hell? That Jesus died for everybody, but everybody is not actually saved by his death? There are some who, although he died for them, nevertheless, in the end, go to hell. That's what they teach. That's what they dare to teach about the death of the Son of God. Jesus teaches clearly in the text that he gave his life for the sheep. That is, they benefit from his death. His death avails them. That he gives his life for the sheep means that he died on their behalf so that by his death they might be saved. His death was efficacious. That is, it had the effect, efficacious. It had the effect of saving everybody for whom he died. Jesus teaches that too about his death here in verse 10. He says that through him, the sheep have life and have it more abundantly. And in verse 28, he teaches that all those for whom he died, all of them, without exception, have eternal life. It ought to be plain that those who teach that Christ died for all, but all are not saved by his death, deny the power, the efficacy of his death. They have to. For although he died for them all, his death did not avail to save them all. That's blasphemy. That stands in flat contradiction to Jesus' own teaching in the text about his death. And that's a denial, a fundamental denial of the goodness of the shepherd. Giving his life for the sheep, Jesus' death, is of benefit, saving benefit to the sheep. That benefit is, first of all, deliverance from death. That's what we deserve, every one of us. That's what we deserve because we're sinners. Sinners in Adam. Sinners by our birth, totally depraved. Sinners because in our lifetime we actually commit the multitude of sins. We deserve to be devoured by the wolves, the lions, and the bears. We deserve it that the robbers and the hirelings have their way with us. We deserve that because we're sinners. Because Christ died, we are delivered from that death, delivering us from death. The saving benefit of Christ's death for us is life. We have life. Life now, through the regenerating work of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Everlasting life, immortal life that cannot be touched by the power of death. Life that survives death. Life that is life in the highest possible sense of the word, in heaven and in glory hereafter. Life under the favor and in the fellowship of God, all our sins having been paid for. That life now is nourished, and that life is preserved through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. In the preaching of the gospel, Christ, the great good shepherd, sounds forth his voice. In the preaching and teaching of the gospel, we hear that voice of the great good shepherd. And hearing his voice, we follow after him. By the preaching and teaching of the word, he protects the life that he gives to us, protects it from all our enemies so that they cannot destroy that life. In the preaching and teaching of the word, He constantly reminds us and reassures us Sunday after Sunday of his love for us as the great good shepherd. And through the teaching and preaching of his word, we his sheep hear his voice and follow him. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They obey his word. They keep his commandments. No one else will they follow. No other voice will they obey his voice. Only his voice. Because his voice is the voice of the Good Shepherd. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank thee for the great Good Shepherd, thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he gave his life willingly, standing in our place on Calvary's cross. And we thank thee for the ongoing benefit of that death, the giving of his life, even for us today. We pray that we may live in the consciousness that he is our good shepherd, who will preserve us and protect us into all eternity. Amen. Let's close our service.